Welcome to another episode of the Eternal Athletes Podcast. Ryan and Aaron Klein here. Beautiful bride by my side over here. Got a special episode. Got someone online here that's going to connect with us, talk to about the Lord in sports. And he played one of my favorite positions, the position I actually played in college and, you know, arena ball and everything. YSU safety, Dathan Hickey. Dathan, welcome to the podcast.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Yes.
Love it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And ride by my side rhymes, and you never said that before, so.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah. We were both like, whoa. We're excited to have you, Dathan, and taking the time out of your schedule, especially you got a couple big games coming up to prepare for. But like we had mentioned earlier, you know, the guests that we have on our podcast aren't by chance, and they aren't by, I mean, it literally is just finding the right athletes that we know are using their platform to glorify Christ and embolden other athletes to lead a Christ-centered life and glorify God with their game. And so, you know, I came across Dathan a little while ago and were able to connect and have some really great conversations and talk about the Lord. And one thing I have noticed about him, which made me really excited to have him on with us, is the consistency that I see from him just on Instagram. Every morning there's a Bible, the Bible app verse of the day, and it's not just a reposting of it. It's also your own thoughts about that as well. And it's been every single day since the day that we first connected. And I think that really stands out to me, where it's not just posting something here and there just to stay relevant or talk about God here and there.
Right.
It is who you are. And that's why I'm appreciative of your time to speak with us today about, you know, how you blend, you know, your light, your Christian life with your athletic career too. So
of course.
Excited.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thanks again for carving out some time. Yeah. Dathan's obviously in season, right? So semi off, you know, there's no total off days when you're in season and stuff. So just appreciate you carving out some time here in between meetings.
Absolutely.
Got an important season to play out here. So
yeah.
Always time for Jesus, right?
Of course.
We can make time.
Yeah, and, try to, yes.
You know, he's why we're here, right? So super appreciate it.
Definitely. And I want to start out too with, obviously we love asking our guests and starting off kind of where that intersection of your Christian life and athletic career first kind of like that intersection when it first kind of blended together, because I know you've obviously been playing sports your whole life. We talked about how your high school athletic career, you have records that you have broken or came really close to, like really big records that you've had. And then you had a chance to go to Yale, which is just, I mean, do we know how to spell Yale? You know, I mean, like, that's amazing. That a feat in and of itself. So that your academic career as well. And then had gone through some injuries and left you to where you are right now. So can you kind of, I know, from that young age up until now, it's probably been a long journey, but where did it first begin?
For sure. Yeah, it's been a long journey just in college, but yeah, in my life. I think that really I was introduced to God at an early age, but I didn't really understand the importance of it. Went to church and, always saw athletes, kissing their hand and pointing to the sky. And then my dad, he does it all the time. So growing up and being able to see that, you kind of just adapt and just like, all right, this is what I'm going to do too. Not really realizing the importance and like the true sacrifice that was made and why people were doing that. So growing up, I didn't really like going to church. I was young, you know, you just want to play. You don't want to be sitting down and doing that stuff. But my parents, I think, did a good job trying to get me to understand the importance of it. But yeah, in middle school, I used to wrestle. In my wrestling singlets, I would get custom singlets, and the singlets that I would want were ones with Bible verses on them. And I didn't know why, but I was just like, I like this one. Like, I want this one. And you know, a whole bunch of cool singlets out there, just like, oh, I want this one. And so when I was wrestling, and we were able to wear our own singlets, those were the ones I wore. And I liked it because I was out there playing my sport, but I was able to, now looking back at it, I was able to show a lot of people that, hey, like, I'm a young kid and like, this is what is important to me. Or this is what interests me. This is what I'm passionate about. So that's kind of when it started. And then, as I score touchdowns and stuff, I wasn't a really big like dancer and celebrating. I would always just point to the sky and like, this is what I do it for, pray before games. And as I got to really college, high school, I would pray with my guys before the game during the national anthem. But really, when I got into college, I started living on the field as I was preaching, like, hey, like, this is what I want to do. Like, God is important to me. And I tried to start, like, living that way. You know how hard it is to live that way in general, and never mind in college. So
yeah.
I was definitely doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, and trying to work towards the righteous life that we're all pursuing. And I think that as later on in my career, I started realizing the importance of putting other people first. Mm-hmm. So that came with leadership, and just being like, all right, what does good leadership look like? And, you know, talk about all these different leaders. Then you're like, all right, servant leadership. What's servant leadership? And that's kind of why I drifted to. That's kind of what came natural to me. It's just like, I'm going to serve the guys that I'm leading. I'm going to show them that nobody's too big for a role. I'm going to show them that I'll put myself behind you to make sure that you're succeeding. And I know that me doing that, we will all succeed. And I just thought of Jesus when I thought of servant leadership. Is like,
yeah,
the most powerful person to ever walk the earth is him. And that's what he did. He served. He didn't come to get the glory. He didn't come to be like, hey, I'm King Jesus and this is what you're going to do. It was no, like, let me wash your feet. It was no, let me do this for you. Let me do that. Like, I will lay my life down on a cross for you to have a relationship with somebody that only I had a relationship with. So it's like just seeing that and being like, if the most powerful person to ever walk the earth and someone who sacrificed everything for us, like, why can't I sacrifice leaving early or leaving early from practice to help clean up after a teammate or helping a teammate with something that they may need? So I think that really in college, once I started realizing the importance of putting yourself last, is when it really clicked for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that. I'm like, there's like 10 different things Same. I want to like dive into. You're like, whoa, you just said so much good stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, like, you know, the first one, you know, the knee-jerk reaction when you said, you know, about Jesus serving, right? You know, how he didn't come to serve or to be served, but to serve, right? So that whole servant leadership aspect there. Absolutely love your, you know, your take on that and your view on Jesus and how he helps you, you know, do the little things like cleaning up, you know, like you were saying. All that. And then that even goes down to like the simple stuff of like, I don't know if, you know, the team does it, but like leaving a locker room better than you found it, for example, you know, stuff like that. I mean, that stuff goes a long ways.
It does.
I think too. Well, I'm curious, you know, different teams that you've played on and as you've grown and developed and matured as a leader and started putting these thoughts and these practices into action, how have you seen that affect your teammates? They seeing you, like watching you serve other people and not being a selfish leader and doing that. Have you seen like that ripple effect of how, or maybe someone that wasn't a believer and they see how you live and how you serve your team? And
yeah, for sure. I was talking about both a little bit. At Yale, it was a different environment, obviously. And then also just a different journey because that's where I did my growth. Like, that's where I did a lot of my growth. So a lot of my teammates who were in my class seen me grow from the immature person coming in to the mature person being like, all right, this is who he is now. Mm-hmm. And then the younger guys who I was able to help lead there were very receptive of how I led. And like, I had other great leaders, you know, throughout my class too, that helped out. But, our whole team was based on love. And it was like, listen, we're going to love one another more than the other team loves each other. And that's what's going to win us games. It's not going to be the hate for an opponent. It's not going to be anything. So this is what it is. And anytime I had the opportunity to speak in front of the team, which is a huge honor, at any time you get to speak in front of your team, that's what I would preach. I'd be like, hey, we love each other more than this. I would share Bible verses on what love is and like, how we need to move on, whether it's practice or film or just on the field with each other, like, this is what love is, and it's an action. Like, this is how we do it. So I would try to do that. And then coming here to Youngstown, it was just different because, like, I came already in that mindset, already in the, hey, like, whatever I'm going to do, like, I'm going to try to impact this team as much as I can. Originally thinking I was only going to be here for a year. But, you know, God has plans when you think otherwise. So just the opportunity to be here an extra year, I think, just gave me that much more authority to really drive home the point of, like, all right, yeah, you've seen me. One, you've seen me working through injury. Two, you've seen me working through injury and still trying to serve you. And then three, now I'm in a place where I'm playing and I'm still the same exact person that was when I wasn't able to play. So just giving the guys a person that is like, all right, cool. Like, I could talk to him or I could ask him questions and he's not going to judge me or he's there for me. And I've seen it in some of my teammates where maybe an argument goes on the team or something happened in practice. And now it's going, into the locker room. Like, I'm a person that I could go up to anybody on the team and be like, hey, yo, what's up? And they respect me enough because of how I've lived, how I've treated them, how I've served them. And I don't act like I'm too big. So, like, now that original anger and, like, yelling and whatever calms down is like, all right, this is somebody that I could actually talk to and he's going to try to hear me out. So, like, I think that makes a big difference. And just keeping guys together, where it's like, there's going to be bickering, there's going to be arguments, there's going to be that and everywhere you go. But, like, who is going to add fuel to the fire and who's going to put some water on it? And I know when to put water on it. And sometimes you do need to fuel fire, but not like with fights, but it's just like, hey, like, I need to light a fire under you and just like, hey, let's go. But I think just the way I'm living and the way that I'm trying to live, how I treat people is huge for both teams that I was on. And I think that you get the most respect when you show others that they come before you too.
Yeah. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Yes.
I think that's great perspective of being at Yale and Youngstown State too, because I imagine it's different. Players are probably around, correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume that maybe at Yale, like, players are there longer, right? A full 4 years. YSU people, there might be more.
More transferring,
So it's harder to build that culture when there's not the same group of people. But
absolutely.
Dude, that's important, you know, having that empathy, right? And the whole servant leadership, that just stems right back to the servant leadership aspect of, like, guys looking up to you and knowing, like, you're not, you don't think you're, you know, too good for anyone or anything. And, you know, that's something that's not just given to anyone. You have to earn that, right? Through you know, repetition and constantly doing the right thing over and over and over again.
Consistency.
Consistency and I don't say necessarily as complimenting players, but building players up, right?
Right.
On and off the field too, right? I mean, a simple heck, you know, obviously there's a lot of team building stuff, like you know, student union, if you, you know, lunch there, whatever. You know, there's a lot of stuff that happens there as well. They can get a sense for who you are as a person and actually caring about them, which makes your message to them more powerful.
Right.
Trying to get them, you know, inspire them to action, right? Calm down a fight. Yep, I was there too. I remember I was definitely more of that peacemaker guy. Like, there was guys like throwing some haymakers at practice and stuff too. And I'm like, what are you doing? So I'm trying to, like, I'm running in there. I was like, it just mind blowing to me. But guys have attitudes, right? Especially in football. It's a good thing. You want that competitive fire. But let's, we're a team, man. So. So let's calm it down.
Some ego sometimes, you know,
there's a lot
and
of
they
that.
Are trying to.
Yeah, we're all guilty.
Yeah,
it was
sure.
Definitely more. I'm a DB. You know, I know you're DB too. It felt like way more like linemen, linebackers kind of stuff. Just in each other's face a lot more. I don't know. Whenever I experienced that. But anyways,
I would love to talk about some because, you know, you've had a lot of injuries along the way that. Yeah. I'm just curious if you've seen blessings in those injuries. You know what I mean? If that's given you a chance to study the game more because you're spend more time there, or kind of what have you seen?
Blessings for sure. No, when you're in it, you don't think any blessing is coming from it. You're like, no, what the heck? Like, how is this happening? But yeah, like you said, I was able to, at Yale when I got hurt, I was able to, I withdrew from school and I was basically working with the coaching staff and kind of working in the coach's office, learning way more football, kind of how the whole defense operated as a whole rather than just my position. And it kind of gave me a chance to step back and like slow down. Where not everybody gets the opportunity. So that I learned a lot, was kind of able to pour more into my teammates because now I really don't have to focus on myself at all except for my recovery. So whenever I'm on the football field, it's like, all right, what can I do to help these guys out? And I found myself learning a lot through that. Then when I came here and I got hurt last year, the whole year I was basically helping as a coach. And I was on the headset. I was signaling to the team. I was learning so much football. My safeties coach knows a lot of football and he has no problem sharing it. So just listening to him and kind of listening to little things he was teaching my teammates and stuff. And, you know, it's hard when you're not on the field to like stay locked in to meetings and everything. But I made it a really a clear choice. I was just like, hey, like this is what I'm going to do. Like I need to show up every day as if I'm playing. I need to prepare the same way. And that's what I did. And I think that that helped me so much, not only just as a person, but just on the field, like the things that I know now and how slow the game could be in certain situations because of the stuff that I was able to learn. I set myself up good for that. And then I think also, like I said, as a human, just really doing things because that's what you said you're going to do, not because of, oh, I'm going to do this because I'm playing. Or I'm going to do this because I'm going to benefit from it now. It's more like the long run. And I think it's important. It ties back into the faith is just like the long run. Like, what are you doing for the long run? Not tomorrow, not for you to get this and that. And I feel I'm guilty of it. Like a lot of times I'm praying and I'm hoping it happens tomorrow. So, but
same.
Just thinking about. Fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just thinking about the future and it's like, all right, cool. What I'm going through now is going to better me in the long run. So I really try to, you know, stay focused on that.
That's about as good of a mindset as I think you can have, like when you're out for, you know, extended period of any time, let alone the type of injury you have. Because it was ACL?
ACL. I did my ACL twice and meniscus twice.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Same knee, different knee?
Same knee.
Wow. That's the weirdest thing. I mean, I always thought, like, you were stronger almost like when you got like an ACL repair. I've heard that where it was just like,
oh, now I am. So maybe it's the second time, third time.
Okay. Yeah. Now it's twice as strong. So,
yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. And you know, what you were saying there is, probably harder, you know, probably more of a shocking reality at first, right? Right. When it first happens, going to take some time to sink in. Right. You know, probably natural for some bitterness, some resentment and stuff, but obviously having that faith life, you know, going to church growing up, even that, you know, wrestling, I'm sure that added a lot of discipline and, you know, some good mindset stuff too with your football, but, having that emotional home, you know, that, faith filled and spiritual filled home probably made the adjustment a lot easier. And, obviously God was pulling you away for, you know, a season, take a step back, work on your mental game. Probably makes you a better player now, right? Seeing, you know, you probably studied film in a different way, right? You know, you definitely probably had the opportunity to do that in a lot different way. And, you know, it takes a lot. Sometimes I've seen coaches like take, for example, if the quarterback's not playing good, just take the quarterback out for a series or two, right? Because you get a different perspective, you know, when you're outside looking in. So same can, of course, apply.
One thing I was jealous of, and Ryan knows this because I say it every week, my goal in football, what's the job I want?
Oh, she wants to be the wrong play caller.
I want to be the wrong play caller. That's my goal in life. Like, just one time, I want to be on a sideline calling the wrong someday.
It's like a game. No, she loves it. She practices every Saturday and Sunday.
I've never heard that before.
Oh no, she gets so jealous whenever TV shows like the offense and there's like three people calling plays.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm
she's like
which one? Which
I
one
would be the wrong play caller? Just like have me do that.
But it would be obvious. It would be obvious that that's not the right one. But
okay, ignore that one.
Still. gotta have a goal, gotta have a dream, you know?
Yep,
that's mine. I'm curious too. So like, okay, so you get to study the game, and I know like we talked, the goal is NFL. Like that's the goal for you. That's long-term goal. So I think like it's almost like a blessing in disguise, like we talked about with those injuries, that you're getting a chance to learn the game at a much higher level.
Definitely.
So that would probably set you up. And then I know, so while you're playing in college with the eligibility that you have left, what's that look like when someone is even trying to get into the NFL? Do you have to like go out and kind of find an agent? Or like, how do you even?
Yeah. Agents kind of, depending on like what your previous years looked like and stuff, agents reach out to you and kind of talk to you and say, hey, we're interested in building a relationship with you, seeing how things going. So you have conversations with agents throughout the season. You can't commit to one or sign anything until you're done with your career. Right.
Okay.
So training facilities hit you up and kind of talk to you about how that works. Agents kind of tell you where you stand in the eyes of scouts sometimes. So you kind of you're getting a lot of information based on how you're playing. They kind of check in on you each week, making sure that, hey, are you healthy? How are you doing? How's your mindset? You ready for this game? It's a big game. And stuff like that. So some weeks it's harder to talk to them, just especially like this year, I got hurt for 3 games. So I was out for 3 games. So those weeks when they were checking in, I was like very hesitant to talk to them, because I'm like, man, like,
don't say the wrong thing.
Like, I'm hurt.
Almost be.
Yeah.
It's scary because it's like, I don't want you to stop talking to me because I got dinked up. And so it's like, dang, like, do I answer? Am I honest? Should I just talk to them like I'm playing and let them find out? But I think the best thing always is just to be honest, and it's like, it's going to work out how it's going to work out. So that it's an exciting time, because it's like, all right, guys want to represent me. They think that I can do it. They have faith in me. And so it's an exciting time, but it's also stressful because this is a big decision for what I want to do for my life or as long as I can until I do have to hang them up. And it's just like, what decision do I make? How do I make the decision? And ultimately, I just fall back to prayer. Just, hey, can you help me? Can you guide me in the right direction? Can you put the people that belong in front of me and then kind of take it that way? But it is an exciting time.
Yeah,
it is.
We'll need a follow up episode once you've navigated the next season, of your life and stuff.
Yep.
So
come to your draft party.
Yeah.
Do a live stream.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Well, I think too, like, that prayer would be important, because I think having an agent, like, as much as I want to believe that all people are amazing and care about your well-being, you probably do need to pray for discernment as far as who is there for you
100%.
And who is just, trying to do it for themselves.
Right. Yeah. They got, maybe a company, whatever, whoever they're representing. And you don't want to say they just have dollar signs in their eyes, in some ways
some
too.
Do, some
but
do.
Yeah, you got to want to think they, care. So kind of working through all that. So
I'm sure that was ingrained in your brain, though, right? Because you're Bristol, Connecticut. So you were like home of ESPN. So that was probably like a goal from like birth is like, I'm going to be on here all the time.
It's always the goal. It definitely was the goal.
That's awesome.
I love that. Back to the gridiron and everything, and I know you're talking about prayer, with your team, stuff like that. What about on the field, transitioning to how you think faith has actually impacted your performance? Obviously, I know on the mental side, we were just chatting a little bit before about a struggle that I had. For example, when I was playing, you gotta hate your teammates,
hate
the opponents, right? But also as a see them as a brother in Christ too. So it's that fine line of like, I'm supposed to love this person, but also like want to smoke them like super hard. So I don't know, how do you navigate that now in your more matured playing career after years of experience?
Yeah, coming in, like I said earlier, just I went into games with hate and just like, I don't care who they are, like, they're going against me, like, I can't stand them, da, da, da. And you still do get in a similar mindset, but it's not of hate. It's more of like, I have this opportunity to play. I have this opportunity to give everything I have, and I'm going to hit this guy as hard as I can. I'm going to do everything I can to help my team win because I love the guys I'm playing with, but still recognizing that the other team has the same mindset. A lot of guys are like, doing it for God, and they're trying to glorify him on the field. And we sometimes lose sight of the fact that we're playing a game that we were blessed to play, and we're playing a game that God has put to our hearts and allowed us to, you know, work towards it. So I think that once we take a step back and realize that we're all doing it for the same reason, it's a lot easier to, you know, respect the other teams. Like, hey, I understand what you're doing. Like, I'm not going to say that I'm going to be your buddy on the field, but I will say that I respect what you're doing. I know that we're doing it for the same thing, and let's go all out and everything, do everything we can to have the best game that we can. And it's like, I still get in the mindset of more of a protecting myself mindset of, all right, I know that these guys are out here to hit me, so like, I need to make sure that I'm in the mindset to go out and do what I have to do.
Yeah.
So it's all that, really. So it goes from really the music that I listen to has changed a little bit because of that.
Tell us what it is. What do you listen to?
I could listen to some rap before, but it's more like just gospel and worship music. Kind of getting myself, like, right before I, or as I'm getting to the stadium and everything, I'm listening to gospel and worship. And then as I get closer to the game, I'll have a couple of rap songs that I always listen to that I'm just like, all right, like, this is what I need to get. But just really remembering, like, you could get pumped up the same way to worship music and everything and might have you feeling better than some murder, kill rap. So it's just
I think of this stuff, like, I'm definitely a beats guy. Like, she's a lyrics girl. Like,
I listen to the words.
She understands, like, every word. I was just in it for the, you know, the bass and the beats, whatever. Like, and, like, listening to some of the words, you know, in hindsight, listening to some of the words, I'm like, wow, I shouldn't have been listening, you know, to any of this before the game. But, like, I wasn't really in it for that. I was just, you know, for the adrenaline rush and the beat and stuff like that. So that's good. Yeah, you got, you know, the gospel music and, you know, obviously mix in some rap. You kind of want some more of that upbeat stuff, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But
listen, I'm in my K-Love era. That's the only radio station I listen to. Well, I never thought that would be me, but it is. And I'm proud of it. And I'm
nowadays.
It does make you feel better. And they are just as catchy. And like,
there's some good stuff. There's some good stuff coming out now.
I wanted to kind of circle back while you guys were talking about opponent hating, you know, and like what that looks like on the field too. And I think the biggest thing, you know, you already said it, but just to kind of reiterate it is, you know, we're athletes, you know, it's like you're competitive and you want to do the absolute best you can. Yep. So it's almost like it's not wrong to want to go out and compete. Yeah. It's just, you're doing, like you said, the absolute best that you can do with the abilities that God gave you. That happens to be, that happens to look like for you hitting people, you know, like that's what it looks like for you, but that's not wrong. That's like the position you're playing. And I think that there are some, because again, I grew up, it was definitely just like what you mentioned earlier. It was, you hate your opponent. I remember, like, growing up, and it's such a small town, but I knew, since it was so small, like, and basketball is what I love, like the girls that I guarded in basketball that we always were matched up against, I did hate them. Why? I didn't even know them, but because their jersey was a different color than mine, it's so bizarre. But I love seeing now how people are realizing, like,
you know, it's funny too. I was going to say, in hindsight, like, you know, high school, college, like, you know, once you get out of that and you meet some players outside of the sport, you're like, oh, you are pretty cool.
I actually like you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, when you meet them outside of the game, like, okay, you are cool. Like, one of them ended up, you know, being my roommate and stuff, you know, post-college and stuff, that we were like total rivals in high school.
Right.
All that, and we ended up being best friends for years, you know, right after that. So yeah, taking that step back, realizing, yeah, they're you know, they're God's children and stuff. But hey, we're in this finite game, we're gonna play it to the best we can, best of our abilities.
And I love going into it that way too from the beginning, because you see it happen in injuries, right? All of a sudden, when someone's injured, people remember their humanity and people will pray and people will comfort the other team. And it's just like, it sucks sometimes that's what it takes for us to remember that's true. So I think going into the start of a game like that and just keeping first things first. And I'm curious too, I'm curious your answer, because we had a conversation about this earlier that I was that I loved. When you hear, right, because people probably hate you going into games too.
Yeah.
So So how do you respond? I'm sure it doesn't happen, but some people might talk trash to you now. There might be some trash talking. Yeah. So how do you respond now as your mature Christian athlete?
For the most part, people don't really say much to me. It's more to my teammates. I kind of just stay quiet and do my job. And if I have a chance to hit you, like, I'll hit you. And like, I'm more of like a jokester. Like, I'll joke around with you. Like, this past weekend, a receiver ran a route and I was coming down to hit him when he was and he like moved out of the way, and I was like, I know you see me coming. And then so like we're just like joking around. He's like, I did. And like just joking around with him, because it's like, all right, like there's no reason, like what am I gonna say to you? But there are some times that somebody will say something out of pocket to me, and I'll just be like, I'll have to like say something to shut it down. But I'm not really a big like derogatory, like I'm gonna come at you type of thing. It's more like, hey, settle down there. Like,
in a weird
way, God bless you.
I didn't have the energy for it.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Especially like, as you get older, you're like, I'm not here for it.
Yeah, like you get tired. You're just like, I'm already like sucking wind. I've been on the field. You know, I was 8 to 10 plays or whatever. Like, I don't care. Say whatever you want. Like, I gotta catch my breath. But some people thrive off of it. I had teammates, of course, that like literally thrived, you know, just depends on personality a lot, I guess. But I was never too big of a talker.
What would you say if you saw people, teammates of yours, trash talking?
I kind of just let them go. Just let them do what they do. If I know that you could talk trash and you could play well, then I'll let you go. But
there you go.
Most of the time, I'm just trying to get the call, get back to the field.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I remember that. It's funny. I thought of this last weekend too. This is kind of off subject or whatever, but celebrating, like I almost got more tired celebrating, like running down to the end zone, like or like on whatever, than like actual playing and stuff too.
Of course.
When I went to the sideline after a teammate picked, and I would run halfway across the field to like, you know, jump up, high five, do whatever. I'm like way more tired for that. I don't know. Just remind me of that.
I don't need to run down there.
I knew I had to.
Part of it. Yeah. So when I see, I guess NFL, you get a break anyways. But yeah, when they sprint down to the end zone and do all that, it's just time or not time, so energy sucking or whatever. Yeah. It's just funny how I thought of that and almost got more tired celebrating than playing sometimes too. But
Did you have something else?
Well, I was going to try to get back on track to faith.
Well, yeah, I got a question that will get us back on track, because I am curious too. Like, you know, after games, especially in this area in Youngstown, right, where it's like people, local athletes have a large platform, right? I mean, they're highly looked up to. It's not like we're somewhere where we're going to Ohio State games all the time, or we're going to Cavs games, right? It's like you're in a place where this is a lot what the community has, you know, and they're excited to go to the games and they're excited to cheer on Penguins and they're excited for that. And so I think with that comes that responsibility as well, where, I mean, there's a lot of people in Youngstown that I just look at the community as a whole. There's a 50-50 chance they're going to go down a right path or a wrong path there, you know? And so how do you kind of use your platform as, you know, there's young athletes looking up to you. There's kids coming to games that are from this area. Like, how do you view that importance of using your platform when you get a chance to inspire those?
Yeah. Just really just doing the right thing on the field and just like showing them that you could play this game and still glorify him. So whether it's praying before games, whether it's the way I talk to teammates on the sideline, like kids watch, they watch a lot of things, and you know, the littlest thing that you might think is insignificant is very significant. So just seeing how I talk to people and how I treat people and what I'm doing on the field and how I handle when things are not going my way, like how am I handling that? And we also had a couple of our teammates run camps and the youth camps. So just being able to have them be in our presence and see how we act on a regular basis when we're not on the field, and the things we talk about and lessons that we talk to them about. And I think that it's cool that we get to talk to them about like real life things. Like, I remember in the camp, we were talking about something, and I guess one of the kids got in trouble in school, and he said that a girl had said something to him, and he said something back, and he got in trouble. And I was like, hey, like, I understand that it might have got you mad, but you need to realize that you need to respect women in whatever conversation you're having, whatever you're doing, like that's what you need to do. And it's like, sometimes it's hard to, you don't really look at girls as girls when you're younger. It's just like, oh, they're just one of my peers. But as you're getting older, you need to realize that, hey, like how you treat women is a reflection of who you are. And I think that, like, would you treat your sister like that? Would you treat your mom like that? And like, just being able to teach lessons like that is like huge for me. Cause now it's like, all right, he's been told, and now he could do what he needs to do with that information that maybe he didn't have previously. So I think that.
And it comes different.
Exactly. It's coming from somebody else that you don't really see. It's just like, oh, wow. Like, maybe I really do need to.
Yeah.
I love that. And that, kind of, you know, going down the, you know, authentic manhood kind of route and stuff. And I remember my college coach was really big into that and taught me a lot of that stuff about, you know, being a man, you know, respecting women, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, so that was really cool. I mean, that's a whole nother, important avenue, but what you're saying about athletes looking up to you, it is kind of weird. Cause I remember, being a kid looking up to those athletes. So, you know, what happens and stuff, but what you're saying is totally right. Where, they look at everything, right? Just like your kids, you know, we have two kids now, 5 and 3 year old, right? It is insane how much they,
that's why we have bags under our eyes.
Yeah.
And energy drinks on the table.
It's insane. Like, you don't think they're watching, but they're watching kind of thing, you know, and the same can go true, with kids, you know, in elementary school, junior high, even high school, you know, coming to games and everything, you know, the littlest interactions you have with a teammate, a coach, how you respond, because they can hear you. Some of them can hear on the sidelines too. They can hear, you know, the chitter chatter that's going on the sideline. And just to realize that you don't think they're looking up to you when you're playing as much, but you know, they really are.
And especially to those camps, you know, when you get a chance to really have those conversations, because maybe that kid's parents have told them that, but they hear it differently when it comes from somebody else that they look up to. And I think, like, even that personal responsibility that you don't realize. I remember way back when I first started coaching, and you get on Instagram and it's like, there was like 3 of my players started following me on Instagram. And that was a thing for me where I was like, I need to be really responsible about my content on here, because now I've got these young athletes that are following me, and you can't not let them follow you because they're going to ask you to practice the next day. Why not? But I think, like, that was an eye opener for me, I guess, like, just the social media. Like, I wasn't posting anything bad anyways, but there might be times where, like, oh, some wine or whatever it is, like, not that you can't do that, but it just made me, I know, more self-conscious of my Instagram content when I knew there's some of my players watching.
Watching
what I'm doing. So
different world now. Yeah. Everything's obviously looked at. Was going to ask about, you know, your faith life, obviously at YSU, you know, the football team in particular. I mean, is there like a chapel? Do you guys have a team, you know, chaplain? Is it like Thursday nights? I guess, what's that look like? Bible studies? Anything
like
that?
Yeah. During the spring, we ran a Bible study every Thursday. And we have guys come, we just go through, we went through James or Romans. We went through Romans. Then we have our team pastor, and before games on Friday nights, he kind of gives us a motivation speech, and then just talks about, really connects it to stories in the Bible of like, hey, like this is what happened in the Bible, and like this is real, and sometimes this is what we need to go through, or sometimes this is what it takes, or he does a really good job of kind of simplifying it down and giving it life to guys who might not know or might not be really familiar with the Bible. So he does that. Yeah. And then after or before games, the defense will come together and we'll pray before we leave the hotel. We'll pray and just praying for, you know, just health and, you know, to be led in the right direction, health for both teams, and that we are able to you know, glorify him and what we do, and then show how much we love each other through our actions on the field. So that's really big, and that we just kind of stay grounded in that. And any conversations and stuff that are had throughout the locker room and stuff, which I really realized that this year, those kind of conversations have been going through the locker room way more than I've ever had. So it's really nice.
Awesome
yeah.
to hear.
Ripple effect. I love that ripple effect. I mean, it only takes a few people that, you know, a few authentic, you know, real guys, girls, whatever, to really start a movement in the locker room, right? Slowly but surely getting there. That's good. You're kind of seeing the, you know, the fruits of the gospel yep. labor, if you will, kind of come to fruition throughout the rest of the locker room. We haven't asked you your favorite Bible verse yet. is there like, or verses, you can have more than one, of course. Is there like a go-to verse you have of like whenever you're feeling, you know, down certain way, focus on, do you write anything on your gloves? I don't know if you can it in the FCS.
Definitely.
Or not,
I kind of go, move around, but one that's always kind of stuck with me is, James, 1:2-3. It's like, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So it's just like really thinking about, all right, where am I right now? What am I going through? And let me consider it joy because like I'm able to experience it. And that kind of helped me throughout my injuries, just really thinking about where I've been and the dark places that I've been, the places where, like, there was a point where I wanted to throw my faith. And I got to the point where I was like, there's nothing that you have planned for me because I did this. I went through a year of rehab, and this was my year. This was supposed to be the year for me to show out and do everything. You allow me to recover so fast. Like, why would you have me recover so fast just to hurt me again? Like, da 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 da. And I'm just going and going and going and going. And no, this verse really helped me a lot. Just being like, keep your faith. And I had talked to my grandmother before she had passed, and she told me, I asked her, I was like, have you ever struggled with your faith? And she said, she looked at me in the eyes, and she's a Portuguese woman, has a really heavy accent. She was struggling right at that point with speaking, so she couldn't really speak much. But the clearest she's ever been that whole day was, don't ever lose faith. And just hearing her say that, I made the decision that day, regardless of what I go through, knowing the state that she was in and how she could tell me that. And I'm not playing football, and she's fighting for her life. So it's just like, really kind of thinking about things is like, why would I throw out my faith? So I made the decision that whatever happens in my life from now on, my faith will come with me. So I really thank her big time for what she's done in my life. And I don't think I would be in the same place. I don't think I'd be the same mindset. And I don't know where my faith would be if she hadn't told me that day, because I was ready to 100% just give it up. So thank her always. This verse is big time for me.
You need to be writing grandma's name on your wrist tape or whatever.
I got a whole bunch of tattoos for her.
Okay. Oh, good. I love that. And thanks for sharing that, because I think that's really important, because it's easy to talk about hindsight. You know, we talk about, you know, when you said that was your verse, I was like, that tracks, you know, with your injuries and everything. And looking at that, and I feel like hindsight, when you're in the position you are right now, you know, you're playing well, you're feeling good, you're, you know, looking to the future. So it's easy right now to look back and say, this is all happened for a reason. This got me where I am the way I am. But I think what you just said is more powerful and really relates to most other people that are in a certain journey in their life too, because they might be thinking that as well. Yeah. You know, like all of us, I've been at moments where he's had to hear me. This man has had to physically drag me to church before, because I'm like, I'm not going. I'm not in anymore. But
a few times.
Yeah. So I get it. And it is true. And then there can be that guilt that comes from that as well, where it's like, wow, God, you've been so faithful. I don't get to play a sport, and now I'm ready to throw it all away. It kind of gets you that perspective. Mm-hmm. So yay.
Dude,
praise God for grandma.
Praise God.
That is absolutely love that. Thank you so much for sharing too. And when you were saying that verse, James 1, I don't know the exact James 1:3.
2-3, yeah.
2-3. Okay. When you said it, I'm like, it makes perfect sense. Before you even like went into you know, your story, because I was gonna ask, like, have you ever thought about giving up?
Yeah.
You know, literally, that was going to be my next question. I'm like, oh my gosh, that ties in perfect, right, with your, you know, your journey and stuff, and can totally see, you know, how that can be your favorite verse. And so that, I mean, that's absolutely beautiful and awesome. And
Grandma's smiling right now.
She is.
Yeah.
I miss her every day.
And of all the situations, right, I mean, people can give up. I don't know. I feel like people give up for way less of a stressful situation than maybe what you went through, right? You know, not once, but a second time, right? And I feel like many people would call it quits there, right? And, you know, if you're hearing this and you got a torn ACL, MCL, meniscus situation.
Yep.
Yeah. So Nathan, keep the faith, man.
Yes.
So absolutely love that. Thanks for sharing that. I don't know.
I feel like we covered a lot.
I don't want to I almost don't want to dive into anything else. I'm like, that's good.
That is good. I think now, unless you have another question you want to cover, I think a big thing that we want to make sure we give you the opportunity is if there is anything else that you do feel that's an important part of your story or your faith or your journey or maybe advice to other athletes displaying their faith, right? Given the platforms that they're given and maybe teetering on that, like, do I post a Bible verse or is that controversial?
Yeah.
You know, there's probably athletes thinking that, you know? So I just want to kind of open it up to you, whatever direction that you want to go here, just to make sure that we get everything from you that you want for this episode.
Right. I just think that something that's very important that I struggle with sometimes is the guilt of our sins. And I think that a lot of times that keeps us from growing closer to God because we feel so guilty for what we've done wrong or what we're doing or what we can't get away from. And we need to realize that because of that, like, this is why Jesus died for us. Like, this is why, because we cannot be sinless. Like, that is impossible for us to be. So just really taking that time to, like, sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, I'll be like, man, I did this yesterday. I can't post this today. And I just fight it. And I'm just like, no, wait, do it. Cause that is the enemy talking to you. Just like, no, like, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And that's when we need to do it more. So just thinking of those type of people that are thinking, oh, should I post this? Oh, I can't. I'd be a hypocrite if I do this, or I'd do this if I do this. And it's like, all right, cool. Then we'd all be hypocrites because there's nobody that's not sinning in this world right now. So you kind of just got to do it. And then the other people that are kind of waiting to start and don't know where to start or don't know what it is, or be like, all right, I gotta be good before I think that I'm going to make this choice. But it's like, we don't have to be. And like, Jesus died for the filthiest version of us. And I think that's something that's hard to wrap our heads around, because it's like, why would he want me at my worst? And that's another thing that kind of stops people from growing closer to God. It's just like, I want to make sure that my life is good, or I'm not ready for it. And it's like, you have to be ready for it, because there's never going to be a time that's going to be perfect. You're never going to be sinless. And also, you don't know when Jesus is coming back. So those are the things that we have to kind of think about. It's just like, I could start now. And I had talked to a teammate about this. He was kind of talking about, I want to do it, but I don't really think I'm ready. And it was an analogy just of a sports game. It's like, when you go and play a new sport, or you go and play a sport in gym class, or just like pick up something and you don't know the rules of the game, you play the game anyways, and you're taught the rules as you go. And it's kind of the same thing here. It's like, you might not know the rules of the game, but just jump in and play. And then on your way, your teammates will tell you what you need to do. And I think that that's the biggest thing that to really be focused on is like, I don't need to know how to play this game, but I could join and I would be taught the rules. And then I'll know the game so well that I could teach others how to play. And I think once we go in with that mindset and we simplify it a little bit into a simple way, it allows people to understand what is really expected. And we're not expected to be perfect. We're expected to try and to continue trying and continue to repent for our sins and continue to chase God. And he doesn't go anywhere. Only we do. And the good thing about him is that as far as we drift, like, he's accepting us the same way now than when we first started. So that, and then I think the last thing is just know it's going to be a journey. It's not going to be, I'm increasing in my faith every single day. It's like, no, you might take 5 steps forward and then 7 steps back and then 2 steps forward and then 1 step back and then 10 steps. So it's like, you're going to mess up. You're going to fall. You're going to get back up. But the thing that we need to really focus on is to continue to move forward. And I think once we continue to move forward and realize that God's grace is powerful and no, he's merciful and he loves us and he wants us, I think that it'll allow a lot of people to realize the spot that they're in and realize who they should be chasing.
Yeah.
Dude, we need to raise about $50 million right now, buy a 3-minute commercial at the Super Bowl.
And just blight it.
And just like have that 3 minutes just on
You're
an
not
ad.
Kidding. Yeah. I love that analogy too.
Dude, amazing. I don't even want to call it breakdown, just amazing. Testimony, right, of Christ's love, loving the worst of us, loving us at our worst. And this is all good stuff. I mean,
good reminder.
We need to hear it constantly. And athletes, of course, need to hear it. Everyone needs to hear it. You never know when Christ is coming. You never know when Christ is going to call us home. I love the whole, my brain hurt, ready, fire, aim. Just like, hey, you're not going to learn everything. You're not going to, be perfect right away. You'll never, I mean, I'm sure your grandma, for example, that, is as holy as, she, was, right? Told you to keep the faith. She was probably still like,
100%
learning and growing,
never stop.
And stuff. Yeah, you'll never stop. So it's just, you just have to go and build the plane while you're flying, essentially.
Also sounds dangerous, but yes.
Yeah. Well, exciting.
But I think, it is exciting. But I do. I think that guilt of sins is, you're right. I just kept thinking it's like kind of like that I'll start on Monday attitude, right? Where it's like, I'll start anew this day.
I'll start my diet on
Monday.
How
guilty of that. Yeah, I mean, every week I say that, but today's Monday, right?
Yeah. So you started.
Okay. But no, that is, I'll start next Monday. That is good. Cause I feel like when you were saying that, I felt something like in myself too, because I do feel like that guilt that we do have keeps us from being fully expectant, even, you know what I mean? There's things that I still pray for in my life. And sometimes I feel like that may not happen because I'm such a terrible person and it's not about me. So thank you for that reminder for myself.
I'm reminding myself too.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. At this point in the podcast, it's always like hard to stop.
I don't want to stop. I want to go for another hour, but I know we got to.
Yeah, I mean, we can have it to be continued.
Yeah, can we do another one? Can we do one after the season when it's draft time too? When it's combine time?
Get some figured out. Yeah, there's so many words of wisdom here for you, and can't wait to hear. What's next coming up? And your aspiring goals and everything. But as of now, we're early November still, so you got a few weeks left. Do you want to share with everyone what's going on season wise for you?
We got two more games. Next one's home, senior day. The last one's away at University of Northern Iowa. We have to win out. We have to win out to play in the playoffs. Take care of what we can control and kind of let everything else play out how it is. But as we're told, we went out, we'll have an opportunity to play in the playoffs. And I think that we're probably the most dangerous team to be in the playoffs. So once we get in and we're rolling, I think that we'll make something happen. But first, we just got focused on week by week right now, and take care of business this weekend. But yeah, it's an exciting time for sure. You just want to play football as long as you can, especially with this team. I love our team and I don't want to stop playing with them. Everything has to come to an end, but I think that we can make it last a little bit longer.
Totally.
Go Gwens.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yeah. Let's do it. Want to know every week. That's awesome.
I say we try and go. If you hear a really loud, obnoxious 5 and 3 year old in the stands on Saturday, you'll know the Kleins made it. We'll line up. Is there a tunnel? Is there a place we can line up and hit hands?
I think usually the people on the field, I don't know if they have passes or something, but usually when we run out, there's people there. So I don't know how they get there, but
we're going to figure it out.
Of all people, you can
figure. We'll figure it out. We'll be there.
But love that. Yeah, you guys are, you know, I know a really dangerous team, very talented. You got a lot of great players, a lot of great coaches, you know, a great culture, right? So, of course, if anyone's built for a, you know, end of season run, you know, playoff run, starting this Saturday,
yes,
it's you guys.
Let's
so,
go.
Absolutely. I'll say a quick prayer.
Okay.
Bringing this in for a landing.
Let's pray.
All right. God, thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for this gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity to live, love, grow, give, and serve our gifts for the greater good of this world. Please help us be all we were created to be. Help us be holy. Help us be saints. Thank you so much for our time with Dathan on this episode of the podcast. Please bless Dathan, his family, his friends, his teammates, all the coaches over at YSU. Please send your spirit upon them. Help them be safe and help amplify their efforts to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Awesome stuff, Dathan. Dathan Hickey, everyone. Youngstown State safety.
No problem.
Thanks for joining
us. Thank you guys.
All right. God bless everyone.